So the Spartans, while they have an advantage, they've got to press it. Despite these rebellions, despite some Persian aid, despite launching the fleets, the Athenians still had more experienced generals, helmsmen, and sailors, and the Athenian fleet was still feared. And in the course of 412 BC, the Spartans really didn't want to take on the Athenian fleet head-to-head. After establishing their base at Miletus, an Athenian fleet shows up under the command of Phranicus and several other generals. Phranicus was a very well-known democratic leader at this point and a political enemy of Alcibiades. And that Athenian force actually landed forces on the peninsula of Miletus, engaged the Peloponnesians and Milesians in a hoplite battle, and won the battle. As usual, the Argive allies broke and ran. What do you expect? They're only Argives. But the Athenians carried the day, drove the Milesians and Peloponnesians back into the city of Miletus. Some scholars had argued if the Athenians had either attempted to siege or storm the city, they could have taken Miletus, destroyed the Spartan base, and ended Spartan efforts right there. And that's probably being a bit too sanguine. More Peloponnesian fleet ships were on the way. Phranicus realized that getting the Athenian navy and armed forces involved in yet another siege a year after the disaster in Syracuse, Athens could ill afford to do it. And so the Athenians pulled back to the island of Samos, which is essentially opposite Miletus, and set up their base there. And so the campaigning season in 412 BC ended in something of a strategic, if not a draw, at least a suspension of hostilities. The Athenians concentrated their fleet at Samos. The Peloponnesians built up their forces at Miletus. Clearly, both sides were planning on what the next move would be in 411. Neither side was willing to risk an engagement quite yet. There were a great deal of negotiations going on with both Tissaphernes and Pharnabazus, and even the Athenians started sending feelers out to the Persian satrap at Sardis. Well, this is how the strategic situation in 412 BC looked. And the prospects looked pretty good for the Spartans. It really would depend whether the Spartans could exploit those advantages, build up their fleet, attract more allies over to their side, and take on the Athenians in a naval battle. And my suspicion is the Spartans always had in the back of their mind a strategy of building up their forces in and around the area of Miletus, and when the time was opportune to sail up the western coast of Asia Minor, that is Ionia, enter the Hellespont, raise more rebellions there, and force the Athenians to fight the decisive battle in the Hellespontine regions, because that was the vital grain route from the lands of the Black Sea that now fed the population of Athens. And if that route could be cut, the city of Athens would starve in a matter of months, because no longer did they control Attica. They were under constant siege. And of course, the Athenians had to pull out of bases and positions in western Greece and concentrate all their forces in the Aegean. They eventually gave up Pylos and other places they had taken in the Archidamian War by 409 BC because they were really hard-pressed to hold on to their empire in the Aegean, and there was the threat of more revolts in Ionia, in the Hellespontine areas, in northern Greece. Olynthus and Amphipolis were still independent in the Chalcidice regions. So that probably was the Spartan plan. Well, the Spartans never really got to exploit this plan, at least not immediately. They eventually did get into the Hellespont and carry out that plan. But there was a peculiar turn of events in 412 BC that resulted in a dramatic change in the strategic situation, and this involved, above all, Alcibiades. Alcibiades had proved invaluable to the Spartans in a number of ways. He undoubtedly had carried out a fair amount of the negotiations that won over various rebels in Ionia. He also, because of his wide-flung connections, apparently knew, or at least claimed to know, the satrap at Sardis, Tissaphernes. And Tissaphernes used Alcibiades on various occasions as an interpreter and as a go-between with the Spartans, and Alcibiades loved that role. You have to understand that Alcibiades, being the flamboyant figure he was, when he set sail in 412 BC, he probably stopped aping the manners of the Spartans. When he was in Sparta, he did as the Spartans. He was out there exercising. He lived very modestly. He spoke laconically. But once he got into Ionia, Probably Alcibiades collected numerous exiles, all sorts of hangers-on, and whenever Alcibiades was on the move, it was an entire roadshow moving with him, and really quite spectacular and impressive. And this had the effect of winning over dissident Athenian allies and even impressing the satrap Tissaphernes, probably more than it should have, but Alcibiades understood drama and he had a flair for it.